This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk, and I'm here with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. Here's where we do a roundup of the tech ecosystem in Malaysia and the world. Karam, good to be seeing you in the month of March. One of the boldest announcements at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona recently came from a Malaysian-based regional mobile virtual network operator, or MVNO, and they were talking about 8G technology.
Correct.
What are you talking about? What talking you, Karam?
And later we're going to find out what is modern Lundell smoking also, yeah? Whether it's legal or illegal. Yeah. Well, we'll wait for that. But this is really, so Jason Low is the CEO of TuneTalk, and of course that is a company owned by Tony Fernandez under Tune Group. Mm. So they were in Barcelona last week where, you know, the World Mobile Congress was held, and that's held there yearly. And Jason just made an announcement that they've now got a product, and he's calling it 8G, okay? Mm-hmm. So now I emailed him, because he's in Barcelona. So I think we were the only ones who did a story with comments back from the CEO himself, right? Mm. Not just wondering what they're saying. And saying, hey, what's this 8G? It's actually a technical specification, you know? You cannot just use 8G. And he said, it's their affectionate term. Wow. No, for the service. And it's really about
marketing.
So it's actually, to them, it's you're combining two 4G networks. So it's 4G plus 4G becomes 8G. So it's our affectionate term for it. So, yeah, but he's very smart. So he said the term, of course, gets all the headlines, right? Yeah. But they straight away clarify it's not a technical thing. We're just being smart in our marketing. Yeah. So that's a Tony Fernandez company for you, right? It's in their DNA to be in your face. Mm. And Jason is very good at that also, lah.
All right. Anything else to update us?
That's just about the 8G. But he's saying that what they've done is they've also used the word groundbreaking, revolutionary. Yeah. And they say it's going to unify, you know, any emerging spectrum, any and all spectrums to create a singular. So this, a lot of readers, viewers, not listeners will not get. But they claim to be able to create a singular point-to-point broadband connectivity over the air with zero expenditure on infrastructure. Basically, what he's saying is that every telco owns spectrum and telcos operate in silos. Each telco is on its own, right? So they configure their spectrum, they build infrastructure, base stations and all that according to their needs and the needs of their customers, they think. So he said because of that, this critical, incredible resource is very inefficient in its use because it's in silos. Mm. So he's got a product which is actually a MIFI, which is a mobile Wi-Fi hotspot. So a lot of people use MIFIs also. I don't know a lot, but enough people do use them, right? So and you put the product down the table somewhere, and then a couple of people around you can share that broadband connection. It's a hotspot, That's why MIFI is mobile Wi-Fi. So they've worked with a company called Swag Technologies. So Swag also, I think they've got some cheekiness in them because Swag Technologies is an MSC status company, by the way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to actually meet up with the founder the week after next and to see this technology being demonstrated. So now Swag stands for Super Wi-Fi Anywhere You Go. All right. So it says that this product now, you know, you use this MIFI and it can simultaneously run multiple networks, right, on one singular connection. So I spoke to a telco engineer because all this is over my head also. And this person said that it is technically possible to do this, but apparently nobody has been able to do it before. And if they have, it's a true breakthrough. So, you know, and Jason says, look, we're going to only launch it in Q3 and possible Q3 launch. But you announce it last week where everybody in the mobile world is there. Mm. So you get a huge bang. And he was also said he launched it there because he wants to get operators to partner with them. Because this product works best when you've got operators partnering with you in a group. Because then what happens is that right now with your MIFI, some MIFIs can take up to, there's one MIFI, at least we know, a Finnish company, that you can insert up to 10 SIM cards. So usually with your MIFI, you can probably have two or three slots. So you're using, let's just use in alphabetical order, Celcom, DG and Maxis, right? Yeah. So in your any one spot, it will tend to pick out where you can get the strongest signal and it will then allow you to connect to the internet now using that network signal, okay? So you've already got that. So, but what Jason is saying that their MIFI will be able to deliver, you know, broadband speeds to you, combining all the three SIM cards you have in there. So, which means that you have to pay for three data services, right?
Mm.
So, of course, the business model now, you can question how many customers out there, users out there are so desperate for high-speed broadband connections any time of the day, no matter where they are, right?
Mm.
So that's one question. And then how many people are then going to pay for? Right now, you can have three SIM cards. So you're paying, let's say, 40 ringgit for a data plan. So that's 120 ringgit.
Right.
How many people actually are willing to pay for that much? And then, so the business model, Jason says, has actually been 2 years in the work. Very interesting. And when I asked him, Jason, can you explain what is the business model to me? He said, we're not going to announce it yet. So it's a business model that's been 2 years in the making and you're not ready to announce it yet. So as a cynical journalist that leaves the question, hey, you know, is this for real or not? From the business model point of view.
Yeah.
Technology point of view, they've hedged and said, look, we're going to announce it in Q9 in the ninth month. Yeah, we're DNA is redefining the corporate calendar out there, all you. The memo will come soon from the SC and Bursa Malaysia, okay? But anyway, so in 9 months, within Q3, they're going to announce it. And of course, there's possibility you're going to say delayed. But it's kind of exciting news out there. And
right.
I like this phrase that Jason said also that, you know, with our technology now where you can just, they can defracturize the spectrum, because right now spectrum is fractured, they can defracturize it. He said this will force mobile network operators to focus on what they should be anyway, which is the best dumb pipe philosophy. Now, mobile telcos operators absolutely hate and fear the word of just being a dumb pipe. Because being a dumb pipe means that you're just pushing, you know, giving people connectivity, and then it becomes very fast a commodity service. Who can offer it, you know, at the cheapest cost? And they absolutely don't want to go that way, right? And when you hear the last story that we'll wrap up the show on about how well they've done last year, you'll know that these guys are nowhere. They're going to go down that path.
Yeah.
But here you have Jason saying, guys, you just focus on your dumb pipe philosophy and getting in their faces, right? But he actually needs them to partner with him also to deliver this service to its optimum. One senior telco person told me that who wants to partner with the MVNO? So there's this snobbish thing also where the three full service providers think that, hey, we own all these assets. We've got, you know, over 10 million customers each. You've got, you know, you claim 2 million across Malaysia, Thailand. Why would we need to partner with you with your breakthrough product?
Right. So 1 minute you want to partner with them and then 1 minute you insult them. Okay, right. So defracture. So I guess it's a new word as opposed to disrupt.
Defracture. Because it's already in silo, so you can actually merge them into one single connection. We'll see.
Okay.
And then Swag also claims is the fastest, most robust data service in the world, data device in the world.
Okay.
So all these interesting words coming out.
So next up, it's been a while since the Securities Commission Malaysia approved 6 companies to do equity crowdfunding, but now we're seeing Ata Plus putting their heads down and getting the work ready for their platform. So their plans, I know I was just reading it, they're looking at working with socially responsible and ethical businesses.
They want to also, not specifically, so that's just their own philosophy. They say with a platform like that, and investors out there who want to, so at some point, you know, you and me, you know, could be investors too. You know, put in 20,000 ringgit to invest in this company, you can. And they feel that a lot of people out there want to invest in companies which are not just
money-making.
Money-making, but they are doing, you know, a business in the right way.
And okay? I think...
not being in the right business, but doing business the right way.
And I think people are definitely, you know, given the choice. Obviously, I will
maybe
work.
That's interesting. I'm skeptical, cynical of that, but they feel, you know, so they, this is... I spoke to Elaine Lokman and Kyrie Andrio. And Kyrie is just Elaine's husband. Not just, sorry. Kyrie is also Elaine's husband. He's a beefy guy. I don't want to say just. He may just, you know,
small little words can mean so different things.
I quickly catch myself there. So they're coming up with their platform. They've already launched it, right, on Tuesday. And by the way, Ata, in Punjabi, Ata actually means flour, the flour that we used to make chapati. So, of course, for all the Sikhs, this word will, this platform will resonate. They'll probably veer towards this platform, yeah? So anyway, seriously, the other co-founder of this, you know, equity crowdfunding platform is a well-known, you know, internet pioneer in Malaysia, Aimi Aizal Nasiruddin, who is a co-founder of Scully. And you remember Scully too.
Of course.
So the three of them are there. Now they've launched this platform, and now it's to just get the industry educated, not the industry, the ecosystem educated. Mm. Now, when you use ecosystem, one thing they're doing, which I find interesting, is they've built the ecosystem of almost 30 partners. If you go to their website, and there's a link, is on an article, you can see the list of partners, and that includes SME Corp. And I just mentioned SME Corp because I just had a one-hour chat with Dato' Hafsah, the CEO, and that story comes out next week. Mm. So the idea is that with all these ecosystem partners, they will also help to be able to give some mentor coaching advice to the companies that considering, that want to consider our platform. You know, so equity crowdfunding, you know, right? You offer shares in your company to people in return for giving you money. This is just another platform instead of going on Bursa where the requirements are much more stringent, right? 5-year track record and whatnot. So this also, as he likes to say, this is also democratizing, you know, access to, you know, to companies like that want to raise money.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it as well. A couple of things, you know, so they help out with deal flow, screening.
Yeah, the partners. And,
So, I mean, would you put your money in this?
Not in this, but in a company that they have screened, maybe.
Yeah.
If it's a company that I know of the entrepreneur himself or herself, and I think they're onto something, and if it only requires like in the low digits, you know, maybe even single thousand, a few thousand ringgit, you know, at some point, why not? I would like to know that I've got a stake in a company like that. So I would.
Right.
But that's my threshold, like below 10,000 rupiah.
Okay.
Rupiah.
Not rupees, huh?
Yeah, not rupees.
All right. Karmjit Singh from Digital News Asia will continue our chat about Ubermoto and Grab Bike and other things after this in Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. I'm just Singh from Digital News Asia here with me. What will we be discussing? Of course, we talk about the tech ecosystem. We talk about Mobile World Congress, the clever play on 8G, Securities Commission, of course, the six companies for equity crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. Now, Carsum has raised $2 million Series A led by Idea River Run or IRR.
Yeah.
The online automotive portal is getting quite big here in Malaysia. So, I mean, maybe a little bit about the Carsum business model.
Their business model is interesting, and the fact that it is not something that you look at that can scale very fast because they're providing. So, you know, if you go to their site, it's a car portal, but they've got zero listings. So how have they managed to raise $2 million US now and before that 350,000? And by the way, board rounds 350 and the $2 million the $2 million round is actually led by Idea River Run. Yep, and with a Japanese company which is a new investor, IMJ Investment Partners, which we mentioned them before, and 500 startups, which was also invested in the first round. When your existing investors invest in you again, that shows that they have confidence in the entrepreneur to execute, and they see that the business model is able to scale. That's why they're coming in again. Now, of course, disclosure, Idea River Run in November 2014 did invest, you know, R1 million in DNA also. Yeah. So now, going back to Carsum, they got zero listings, so how can they do this? And according to the co-founder and CEO, Eric Cheng, they're really looking at providing car selling services. Okay, that's what they do. So sellers can access information on car valuations with full transparency and very fast. So, and you can see that they're about to launch a service for car buyers also. Right now, they're doing for car sellers. And they actually have experts who come in and evaluate your car and tell you, and they also help you do the you know, all the things with Pushpub.com that you need to do to be able to sell your car. Because while individuals can sell their own cars, I just found out from a motorhead yesterday that very few people of them actually do. They just go and sell it to a dealer. Because, you know, you go to a dealer and you say, I cow team everything for you, correct?
Yeah. You pay for the cow team.
Yeah, you pay for a cow team. I mean, you're selling it for a lower price to them, but you got no hassle. You go to one guy, he makes an offer, you take it, walk away. Whereas this one, then you got to go to Pushpub.com to get, you know, your car, you know, a worthiness certified and maybe do some other things with the bank or whatever. So they do everything. So that's why consumers just go to, a lot of consumers who want to sell their cars go direct to car dealers. But here now, these guys want to come in and plant themselves as the trusted intermediary who will help you. Now, they're not disintermediating the car, you know, the second car dealer. They will also help them. Because they say, we become the trusted platform. You could go to their site and say, look, I'm looking for a car in this range. And you specify your needs. And then they look in their database of cars, you know, that could be plugged in by a consumer wanting to sell his or her car and also car dealers. And they say, we've got a match, but let us go and now check out that car first and see what it's worth your while. So
I'm just looking at getting another Beetle.
Oh, you do, a Beetle. Okay, you can. So that's what they're doing. So what's interesting about the money they've raised is that Eric says that they plan to use, most of it will be used for expansion into Indonesia and Thailand. They're already in Australia and Singapore and, of course, in Malaysia. When you say going to use most of the money, so just looking at, let's say you're taking $1 million each into each country, Indonesia and Thailand, that translates to 13 billion rupiah in Indonesia and 35 million bahts in Thailand. So they're making a very, very serious effort to go into this market, and they plan to dominate these markets too. So, in fact, in the article, I think you mentioned that by the end of next year, they hope to even become profitable and maybe be a market leader in some of these countries. So, very interesting. So,
yeah,
they guarantee buyers the best offers in town by providing, five upfront offers and just a lot of stuff. And then over the last 12 months, they've been around for over a year now. They've launched their own proprietary real-time pricing algorithm too, which allows buyers, users to get a quick car valuation on their site and also pre-negotiate offers. So lots of things they're planning to do. You can go and check out their site. They've raised that money. They plan to invest a lot of it in Thailand and Indonesia. Those are their next markets. And I think if they gain further traction, their next round, Series B, this is Series A, could be a very, very, very nice round, with the traction that they're showing. And they're already claiming to have 5 million worth of GDP gross, a GMV, gross merchandise value, which just means that the cars that they have available to sell are in total are worth a combined $5 million US dollars.
I still find it so amazing when I know these are the plans that are in place and you manage to get all this money with zero listing.
Yeah, with zero listing. Very interesting. So it's tough to come into the market where you've got a big player like Carlis and also so well established Muda, right?
Yeah.
Most people use this for an entrepreneur then to see opportunity. Oh, hey, they're not addressing this service. Why? I can go in there and then convince other people to bet on him. So that's really the story there. It's quite interesting. So now it's for them to execute. They've got a good sum of money, a very good sum. Let's see how far they can go.
I've moved on to the BMW. Moving on from cars to bikes. Uber, Moto, and
motorbike,
now
just get a
Grab bike. It's a battle of the two-wheeled transportation in Indonesia, I'm guessing.
Actually not Indonesia. So Uber has launched a pilot called Uber Moto in Bangkok late last month. Mm. And which means now that our Malaysian-founded but Singapore-headquartered Grab now has to fend off Uber, because it won't be long before Uber obviously rolls out in Jakarta also. And already in Jakarta, Grab is facing Gojek, which is a local player now. Now, however, we did speak to my colleague out of Singapore, Benjamin, got some comments from Cheryl Goh. I got to not say Cheryl Yeo, Cheryl Goh, who's the marketing vice president for Grab. Mm. And she's optimistic of their Grab bike service. She said, look, we launched a year ago and it has become their fastest growing. So it's a Uber launch, but we're talking about Grab because just launched, right? Whereas Grab has been in the market now. Mm. So Grab bike was launched a year ago. Imagine how time flies.
Yeah.
And according to Cheryl, it has become their fastest growing service across the region. 75% month-on-month growth since the middle of 2015 in terms of bookings. Tell me if you had 75 bookings this month, the next month you've got like 50, right?
Yeah.
Or 60 bookings. So and then that combined 135, then subsequent month is 75% of that. So very, very healthy bookings, right? Of course, she didn't specify the actual numbers. And look at the word she used. She's taking a leaf out of Jason Lowe's playbook.
Okay.
The runway for growth is immense.
I love these adjectives. Yeah. You learn a few words.
No, Aswan hates this life as a grumpy and,
yeah,
very, very serious
cynical,
journalist. Super cynical. What's all this nonsense, But they're saying it, so we're reporting it. So, for example, she says that their target for Grab bike in Indonesia for 2016 is to push for 50% market share. So they've already got Gojek there, and whoever else comes in, they say that their target is, and she says they are on track for that.
Okay.
To push by the end of this year, they'll have 50% market share of people using motorbikes.
Yeah. And I think it's services. Great. Yeah? I mean, because you understand, you get into the culture, we can't.
Beautiful. Culture is incredible. Because they say that Uber says that, Grab says that the key for this battle is to win the hearts and minds, you know, in terms of the local market, in terms of safety standards and user experience.
Yes. Safety.
Safety and user. And they keep aiming to push, pushing the envelope, another way. They want to push the envelope in these two areas according to Go, right? And we're going to grow our pool of riders and all that interesting, you know, beautiful words. You go to the article and you can read that and get your full of all the incredible things they plan to do.
Yeah. You can, along the way, you can learn a few words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sexify your own releases.
And very quickly, the slugfest between Malaysia's big three telco players. How did they all perform in 2015,
yeah. So it was a challenging year last year, right? They had to battle with headwinds from GST, their own price wars in both prepaid and postpaid. And collectively, Maxis, Berhad, Celcom, Axiata, Berhad, Digi.com, Berhad, they recorded revenue of almost 23 billion ringgit last year. Slightly lower than year before, but look at it, 23 billion ringgit.
In total?
Yeah, in total combined. Providing mobile services, you know, to corporate customers and to individuals, right, to all the 32 million Malaysians and the 6 million migrant workers in the country, legal and illegal, right? That's a huge amount of money that the three of them are making.
Break it down. Who led in terms of revenues? Revenue, not profit.
Maxis was the winner, though, but more important from a user point of view, right, because of the intense competition, prices of data packets decline dramatically.
Decline?
Did I just create a new word? So by the second half of 2015, the cheapest data package was about between $9 to $13 per gigabit versus $20-$25 earlier in the year. So for all of us, that's good, right? So, but Maxis, interesting enough, regained its market dominance. So when Lundell, Morten Lundell announced Maxis' full year results, he said they grew in revenue and profits and they also won the market share. And then, so that's what he claimed. And then when the financial results of all three players came out, according to Tenyu Urodis, it's clear that Lundell wasn't smoking anything. Because Maxis was the winner, as it not only grew profits and revenue, it was the only one among the big three to register growth in both top line and bottom line. So, but there's always a but. It didn't lead in all indicators, which bodes well for its rivals, because then if they can execute well, maybe they can, you know, win some of their market share back. And especially in prepaid revenue and market share. So Digi still shows that it's the king of prepaid. Yeah, continuing in registering higher postpaid revenue versus Maxis and Celcom. So if you look at their revenue in 2014, they had 4.57. Almost 4.6 billion versus Maxis almost 4.2, and then Celcom at 3.5. So in the postpaid market share, prepaid market share, Celcom is significant, almost a billion ringgit in revenue less.
Right.
And then in the year before also, Digi also led, you know. So they dropped slightly though, from 4.6 to 4.8. Very marginal, but they're still the leader versus Maxis, and there's a billion ringgit in difference in revenue capture between them and Celcom in this postpaid prepaid market. So obviously Celcom looks at this and they say, surely we can do better. Because Celcom, I think, is strong in the Filipina market, but that's a small market.
Right.
Yeah, they did partner with someone.
Okay.
And then there's just so much data there that's so interesting. You just got to go and read it. And you got to book. Articles like this are so well. You go down and look at the share function and you can see it's just been very well shared. And you know it's an article worth keeping for yourself also for subsequent. Because nobody else breaks it down like this the way you do in a manner
that the average reader can.
That the average reader can just understand, oh, this is the picture now.
Infographics. Huh?
Yeah.
All
not
right.
That, no, we do. We need to add an infographic element there.
Element,
you put it right on the spot there.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Okay,
critical.
I've been watching and monitoring you. I've
been watching.
Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia. This has been Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Chakaday.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.